About a year ago, my wife Jeanette and I attended a marriage retreat organized by family life called Week to Remember. So many of the couples in our congregation have attended this. We did the one in Plano, and I think there's in Colorado, but it's a Christian organization that has a whole weekend of seminar, talks, and activities for married couples. It's a very, very beautiful experience. The event is for couples in various stages of marriage. When we went there, there were people who were even considering getting married. They were kind of engaged. And there were couples that were been married for many, many years. And I think the speakers are asking, you know, how many have been married for 20 years? I think there were people who were like 50-something years of marriage, which was really awesome to see. So during the part entitled, the section of the talk entitled The Fall of Marriage, How the Dream Comes Crashing Down, the presenter talked about the invisible threat. The unseen enemy who doesn't want us to be one with our spouses. Of course, he was referring to Satan, the devil. The influence of Satan in our unity of marriage. Here in from the book they gave us, it says here, we have an unseen enemy who doesn't want us to be one with our spouses. And here's a quote for Tony Evans, which is a Christian preacher here actually based in the Dallas area. Says the tragedy today is that many Christians think they're fighting flesh and blood in their marital and parenting issues, rather than realizing that Satan has an agenda to destroy their home. Whoever controls the family controls the future. So at some point, the presenter asked all attending couples to hold hands. Stand, hold hands, look at each other, and say, you are not the enemy. You are not the enemy. And as I was holding Jeanette's hands there and looking at each other, you know, it's a very powerful statement, especially from what we're about to learn about the influence of Satan in every type of human relationship, not only marriages. So the intention was for couples to come to the realization that they can stand together against a common enemy. So in Scripture, let me see if this works. Oh, there you go. In Scripture, Christians are warned against the invisible enemy who threatens to destroy the oneness of God that God intends for our marriages. Not only that, but also the oneness that God intends for our church community and our relationship with Him, our Christian relationship. What can we do to heed the warning and withstand the persistent attacks of our common enemy, Satan? So the first point I have is, let's go to Ephesians. And this is the core scripture that was also used during the conference. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, starting in verse 10. And this is the part of the scripture that we have heard probably so many times, especially if you have been in the church for a few years. This is the part where Paul talks about the armor of God. And verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil. You may be able to stand. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. It's actually kind of spooky if you think about it. Who are we battling against? And the influence of Satan and his angels to society in general. And in verse 13, this is a scripture we heard so many times. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Once again, to stand, to withstand, to resist. After everything, you stay standing. So, in verse 11, talks about the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, it's in Strong's Concordance, it's number 3180, methodeia. I'm not sure if I'm saying it correctly. That's where our English word method comes from. Method. You have a method. It's properly a predictable preset method used in organizing evil doing. It's also translated in another version of the Bible as schemes. So Satan, our adversary, is not taken lightly. You know, he's scheming. He's thinking. He's planning. You know, we've got to be aware of that. The Bible says that we shouldn't be unaware of his schemings. Now, he's not resting. You know, he's actually thinking through, how can I make this person fall? How can I attack him? How can I destroy? And he does this continuously. Now, in verse 12, it says, we do not wrestle. And that word, wrestle, same, it's Pile in Strong's 38. It means actually struggle, wrestling, like in a match. I don't know if you've seen the wrestling matches. You know, probably in the ancient Greek world, you're actually struggling with somebody trying to take your opponent down. It's literally you are struggling against something. And that is the teaching of Scripture, that we are in a continual war against Satan. Even though our world looks peaceful and we're blessed, we're protected by God, there's dark forces continually attacking us, continually influencing us negatively. And there's an invisible enemy. Now, if you ask anybody right now in Ukraine, if they think they're in a war, they're so obvious and evident. Look around the destruction. Look at the deaths. Look at the despair around us. It's obvious they're going through a horrendous ordeal in their nation. But if you ask us Christians, are you in the midst of a war? Most of the time we will say, Satan's always trying to attack us, and we know that. But do we really understand how pernicious and how forceful it is? Especially as our society crumbles down, as things deteriorate worse and worse. Now, let's consider the magnitude of our struggle. And this is interesting. Let's consider the magnitude of our struggle. We wrestle against, like Paul said, principality, powers, rulers of the darkness, a spiritual host of wickedness. It's not just Satan, but the ones he influences. He's talking about established power, the authority that's established in those days. In his time, you know, he wrestled against that. So in verse 20, in Ephesians 6:20, Paul is called himself an ambassador in chains. And he defended himself against the accusation of the Jews who wanted to kill him. He survived so many ordeals. Literally, his fellow Jews wanted to kill him. And remember, I think last time I talked about storms in our lives, and he talks about Paul and the shipwreck. The perfect storm. He survived. He was eventually brought in front of King Agrippa with noble Festus, one of the leaders of the community, to explain his case because the Jews wanted to kill him. And Agrippa, this is the king that said, you almost convinced me to become a Christian. When Paul gave his powerful testimony, remember that part of the scripture, and Agrippa and the authorities say, we don't find anything in this man that he could be killed. And then he was basically assigned a Roman centurion, Julius, who was very kind to Paul. And then they had all this journey towards Rome. And they have a shipwreck. And think about this. Look at that. This is the picture of a Roman soldier. That person here looks really mean. You don't really want to mess with him. And I wonder, you know, as Paul was meditating and thinking about his life and his ordeals, and he's chained to this person, you know, it's like a, right now in the way the equivalent of the U.S. Marshal, right? They have to take a prisoner to another city. You have a U.S. Marshal that takes you there, and you are in the custody of. And as they go through all these difficulties, and Paul is like having to contend not only against the opposition to the Jews, but the authorities. And I wonder if God is when he inspired him. As Paul spent time with his Roman soldier, he said, you know what? And God inspired, that's how God inspires the scripture. He says, we need to take an armor. We as Christians had to take weapons, but not physical weapons, spiritual weapons. And that's this beautiful scripture that's been left for us, the armor of God. Not the armor of a soldier, but the armor of God. I wonder if this experience inspired Paul to write about the armor of God. We as Christians live in a society that's rapidly moving away from God's way of life, especially lately. And we all are aware of this. And we've seen the increase in the intensity in which ideas, philosophies, lifestyles are pushed on us. It's getting worse and worse. It seems like more and more we have to struggle against principalities, against the powers, the established authority. I was reading the news and the media that in some parts of our country, children are being exposed to perverse lifestyles as part of a learning curriculum. As you know, what about our brothers and sisters that live there, struggle? That is against principalities and powers, the forces of darkness. Isn't it? We are going to be persecuted if you stand for what is right, for what God has done and established. Also, in some companies, they expect all employees to go to mandatory training to be accepted of alternative lifestyles such as homosexual behavior. It's part of the training. So, Satan is determined to destroy the three more important relationships in human existence. The oneness of marriage and the family. That's number one. Our relationship with our children or parents. I know not all of you are married with children, but you have a parent. You have a father or a mother. And third, our relationship as brothers and sisters in the church. You know, Satan, he is determined. Remember, he's scheming. He's not taking this lightly. So the first point, the oneness of marriage and the family, Satan's first target after he rebelled against God was the family. His first target was in the Garden of Eden. He went after the first married couple, Adam and Eve, deceived them, and basically broke that relationship they had with God. And that's when all our troubles started for the entire rest of humanity. Ever since, he has tried to destroy the institution of marriage as it was intended by God who created it. When there is conflict in a marriage, Satan wants us to view our spouses as the enemy, so that tension and friction increase. Think about it as husband and wife start having difficulties, and the tension builds up, and there's this looking at each other like they're the enemy. When in reality, it's a Christian marriage. We should turn around and say, we're not the enemy. You're not the enemy. Satan is trying to destroy everything we have. And come together in prayer to fight against the common enemy, which is Satan. So, in Matthew 19, just to follow on this point, Matthew 19, chapter 4, Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, I'm sorry. This is the intention, one of the many scriptures that talked about the intention of marriage, the God, when God created. We heard this so many times during the wedding ceremonies. We heard this part of the scripture. And he answered and said to them, this is Christ speaking, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's God's creation. And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And this oneness goes beyond the blessing of intimacy and sexuality. We know there's a deeper meaning of being one with your husband or wife. So then, they're no longer two, but one flesh. They become one, oneness, not separation. That's Satan's intention. God wanted us to be one in the marriage institution. So then, they're no longer one, no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. What God has instituted as a marriage covenant, no human can change that. Regardless of what you change, regardless of what you do in life, regardless of whatever policies you have, you cannot change that. God has determined a husband and a wife, male and female. However, Satan is not man. He says man cannot separate. Satan is an angelic being. The spiritual force of darkness has done enough destruction to the marriage institution in our societies. So it is the will of God that marriages stay joined together. And yes, each partner is responsible for their words and actions. However, Satan's devices are honed in on causing dissension and amplifying negativity. He revels in our conflicts. And sometimes when so many problems happen, you won't see Satan in the corner is rubbing his hands in glee, you know. It's sad. When we fall into Satan's traps, we see our spouse as the only enemy. Resentment builds and eats away our relationship, leading us to isolate from each other and view each other as enemies. Now, I personally had my struggles as a husband and as a father. I have not always been nice. I have not always given the right feedback. I've been short to my wife sometimes and my children. I have struggled. You know, this is a struggle for me too. You know, I see this message more than anything is for me personally. You know, I have not always treated in a correct way to Jeanette, you know, and my children. So, the second relationship that Satan is trying to destroy is our relationship with our children or parents. That now goes after the family. After the married couples get married, they have children. God bless you. If God blesses you with children. And then you have a family. And sometimes children grow up and they have their own families. Now you have an extended family. How is your relationship with your parents? How are we related with our parents? Are we honoring our parents? Like God says in the commandments. Respectfully honoring, caring for them as they age. And if we have children, how is the relationship with our children? Do we have a strained relationship with our children? So sometimes we enter into a rather adversarial relationship with our children or them with us. Some family members have strained relationships to the point they have not talked to each other in years. You see that in our families. So that is Satan's world. Let's go to Malachi 4, but let's see what the intention of God is. The unity of the family, not only as a marriage, but the extended family, is critical for the stability of society. And this is another scripture. I'm not going to bring any scripture that we have not heard before. Very, very, very well-known scripture, Malachi 4:6. It's actually a prophecy. And God, He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the hearts of the children to the fathers. Once again, He talks about that relationship. What happened to the hearts? Why did they turn against each other? Satan. The influence of Satan. But it's still yet our responsibility, our choice. But He was there. And you see from Genesis to Revelations, you can see Satan's signature throughout the whole Bible of destruction and deception. And God warned us, you must be aware about it. Be aware, don't be naive. Know that we are in the middle of a battle zone, continually being influenced by negative thoughts. So if that's the case, if we're having problems or relationship issues with our family and friends, children, If that's the case for any of us, acknowledging that our children or parents are not the enemy is an important step towards striving to turn the hearts of the children and parents to each other, which is the will of God, which is contrary to Satan. And next point, our relationship as brothers and sisters in the church. You know, Satan is trying to destroy the marriage relationship. Satan is trying to destroy the family relationship. Satan is trying to destroy our relationship, us, as brothers and sisters. Let's go to John 8:4. The book of John, chapter 8, verse 44. And this is Christ again talking about some of the Jewish leaders and what he's telling them. You are of your father the devil. I think this is the part when they mentioned that Abraham was their father. And Christ says to them, no, you are your father the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. Here's how Satan influences. The desires of your father you want to do. He's continually pushing his desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. And does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks on his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. He's the originator of lies. The first lie ever told. If you don't, you shall not die if you eat from that tree. It was a lie. And he's never stopped from there. Satan's strategies to destroy includes two sides. Division and deception. He's trying to destroy, divide, and deceive. In 1 Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all speak the same thing, and that there are no more divisions among you, and that there are no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. See, that the apostle Paul is writing, that's the intention. It was us as brothers and sisters in Christ have that same mind. It means believing the same principles, the important things, our destiny, our practices in church. It's not talking about I like Mexican food and you don't like sushi. It's not saying that. It's talking about what really matters, what binds us together, our direction, our care for our children. Do we all agree what's important for our children? Do we all agree what's important for our elderly? How should we proceed? How should we be a light in the world? Those are things that we should be in one mind. That's what Paul is saying. But Satan wants to divide. And there's all kinds of schemes and problems and difficulties, and people go different ways. He instigates division among people, division among marriage and division among families, division of our country. Think about how divided our country is. It's almost like an irreparable breach that only brings destruction. And among God's people in the church. And second, one of the two tactics of Satan, remember, division and deception. He's a great deceiver. You know, from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, he has been twisting and modeling the Word of God. And perhaps one of the greatest lies of Satan is the assertion that family is a human construct. And that evolves over time and will continue to change in the future. With God said no. He determined, and from the beginning, male and female, and they will be one, establishes the covenant of marriage. That is what God did. Why and how we sometimes lose our spiritual battles. So, why and how do we sometimes lose our spiritual battles? That's happened to me. I came into the church when I was 19 years old, back in South America. That makes it years in the church. And I still struggle. You will think about what sometimes perhaps we have the notion that as Christian going to perfection that the struggles are going to disappear. What growing in the grace and knowledge and growing maturity means actually you get better and better at struggling against evil. So in Genesis 4, and this is where the mechanics of the dynamics of sin are explained. In Genesis 4, at the beginning, chapter 4, verse 6. And this is the incident of Cain and Abel. Right at the beginning, you know, it's only 2-3 sentences, but has an incredible, profound truth about the nature of sin. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen?" You've done something wrong. You have the wrong attitude. Something is bothering you. You know that. You're aware that something is not right. And continue here in verse 7. "If you do well, will you not be accepted? If we have the right heart, the right attitude, would God accept you? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." There's Satan. Here's the roaring lion. You see, if you're in that situation of having the wrong attitude and linger there, sin lies at the door. It's like a roaring lion crouching, ready to pounce and destroy you. And look what it says. "And its desire is for you." It's a tremendous influence in our attitude towards others. "But you should rule over it." God told Cain, "You should rule over it." From the beginning, the desire of God was you should rule over it. Don't give in. Wrestle. Stand. Make a stand for what's right. Don't give up. And we know the tragic consequence. The tragic consequence of sin. He killed his brother, an innocent man. Blood polluted the land. The beginning of the human existence. So, from this scripture, I noticed that there's like the three stages of sin. It's almost like three stages. First, Satan instigates and negatively influences humans. And preparing this message, I found so many scriptures that specifically says Satan did this to this person. And one of them, for the sake of time, I'm just going to mention one. In Acts 5, verse 3, and this is the interesting example of Ananias and Sapphira, the beginning of the church. Acts 5, verse 3. "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?'" Why has Satan filled your heart? Here is Satan again, influencing. Ananias and Sapphira pay, they die. You know, we are responsible for sinning. Satan is the instigator, but God holds us accountable. When our human nature kicks in, and if we linger on negative thoughts for too long, or we don't quickly use our spiritual armor, then we sin. Remember that God said we should rule over sin. We should overcome. So there's almost like there's a point of no return if we don't immediately take up our armor, make a stand, and go in a different direction. We sin sometimes in thinking, speaking, or acting in ways that are damaging to others, or our relationships. The encouraging thing about this is God has given us the sacrifice of Christ. And even when that happens, brothers and sisters, just get up. Ask for forgiveness, repent, change, repair that relationship with God. That's why God gave us His Son, because we cannot overcome sin on our own. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. We're going to lose the wrestling. But as we move on in our Christian life, we become stronger, wiser, be more aware of the forces of darkness, so we're better equipped in our fight against Satan. However, God has given us the means to overcome sin, to rule over it, to win our spiritual battles. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 10 now. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. And this is the parallel scripture to Ephesians 6. This is the parallel part. They got together. Here the Apostle Paul says, For though we walk in the flesh, we live this physical life in which we age, and we go through the process, normal process of human life. For as we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Yeah, just like in Ephesians. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Isn't that wonderful? That because it could feel a little sad and depressing to think about we're fighting this horrendous enemy, powerful. But yet God's telling you, but your weapons are mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So think about this. To which extent we wrestle and fight against sin. This is what he talks about. Therefore you become perfect as God is perfect. How can it be if we're humans? Moving into perfection. Because it says the struggle, the influence of Satan is always going to be around you. But this is what you do. Every thought, everything in your mind, drag it into the obedience of Jesus Christ. That's how you fight against sin. And of course, we have the help of the Holy Spirit, which is the same, the very essence of God, who gives us in order to be able to use these weapons, mighty weapons. So, I guess in other time you can do on your own and go through the different parts of the armor of God. I don't have the time in this message, in this part, but you probably have done this or read or listened to sermons in the past. But I wonder, Paul, traveling with this centurion for who knows how long, and then they went to Rome, and God inspired him, and he saw his armor, geared at your waist with truth. You see that tunic inside of the Roman soldier. The garments that cover the most intimate parts, truthful. That's one of the weapons. We're genuine. What you see is what you get. Using the computer technology. No pretense. This is who I am. Genuine Christian. The breastplate of righteousness. Doing the right thing. It's like a protection to your heart. Preparation of the gospel of peace. What were we doing? God has called us to do something. To preach the gospel of the kingdom to all nations. In whatever role we're involved. As being lights and supporting the work of the church. But Paul at the very end, he was like, it's incredible. You're being inspired by studying Paul's ministry and how he changed. He's an ambassador in chains. Even as a man is chained as an ambassador, saying, this is not my country. I'm the representative of a country to come. And that's when people in the world looked at us, you see the same thing. Yes, we have perhaps some chains of the struggles that we go in this world, but we represent a different society. What did they see? What do they know about the country we're saying we are bringing in the future, or God is bringing? That is the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. And I thought about it, especially nowadays, when so many things are exposed in terms of deception in the different media, in the schools. But you think about that shield that the Roman is wearing there, the Roman soldier. And I saw that in some of the movies. It's not the tiny little toy shield that, sometimes you see some of those Vikings, a little rounded one. And you can actually kneel behind that shield and it protects you completely. And it says against the darts of the devil. You have to have some strength to carry that shield. It protects you completely. And that is our belief. Faith is believe God and do what it says. The helmet of salvation. Another weapon protects your mind, right? Do we have, like Dr. Ward used to say when we were in college, that does not work. Do we have that image burning brightly in your mind about the kingdom of God? What is to come? That's the helmet. Covers your mind. Yeah, we can see the world crumbling down and disappearing and caving in around us. But we have that hope that God is going to bring a much better world. And I noticed about this soldier here. I got this picture from the internet. He has two swords, and that's a famous Roman, lethal Roman sword. He's got another one, extra one, in case he loses that, and a dagger. So, what about our knowledge of the Word of God? How, as we go in life, are we studying on our own, doing our own study? Can we stand and explain to others why we do the things we do or believe the things we do? See the scriptures, yeah, as I read before, it says it's going to destroy strongholds. All kinds of deceptions. And one of the, it's additional there, not mentioned, it's a part of the armor of the Roman soldier, but it's prayer. Prayer is a powerful weapon. And as I was sharing this message with my family, and I think Brianna, my youngest daughter, said, "Hey, Dad, you remember that movie we watched, the War Room?" And I do remember, you know, a long time ago, there's a Christian movie called The War Room. I don't want to, you know, if you want to watch it, but this one lady that has in the house a place where she prays. He calls it my war room, you know, to fight the spiritual battles. Pray. So God has given us ways to overcome, mighty weapons. So, as I conclude here, I tend to think about, you know, the Apostle Paul meditating as he was finishing his physical life. As we all do, as we age, at some point, we have a journey in this earth, right? And the Apostle Paul probably thought about this, you know, I have fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So, let us all strive to acknowledge that we live in a dangerous world with spiritual forces. Let's identify the real enemy, Satan, who all the time tried to destroy us. Let's look at each other. Look at our positive traits, positive aspects of one another. Assume the best about others. And so we can come together, perhaps as an army of legionaries, not just one soldier, but a whole legion against Satan the devil.